Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The Sour Hour is meant for the serious brewer. The Sour Hour may contain some seriously funkified content. The Sour Hour is not for the faint of heart. So exercise some damn discretion, would you please? Sheesh. And now, here's the Sour Hour with Jay Goodwin.
What do I usually say first? Hello? We're back?
It's that time.
It's that time? Sorry. Danica came out here and sat in my chair.
Oh, and she then screwed my whole feng shui.
Well, the headphones got caught up in the wheel of my chair, and so I was up to the wire, like...
She's giving you the finger wag, the very, very bad man from Seinfeld finger wag. No, 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 no.
Soup hater of people of your ilk.
I won't even
dignify it. By naming their group. But he makes soup, I'll just say that. We're back. It's the Sour Hour. It's that time. I'm your host, Jay, for better or worse. We're at the Brewing Network Studios in downtown Concord.
Where Map of the Sun is on.
Never heard of
it. I have a glass of it. And boy, it's tasting great.
Oh, yeah, you did get Map of the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fresh batch, 2017. Best Map of the Sun yet, I think.
Yeah, it's got a big.
I was setting you up to compliment me. That's why I paused after that.
I don't do enough complimenting of the rare barrel.
Yeah,
this stupid.
Yeah, we can move on. So yeah, speciation, artisan ale. I do have a little trouble saying that, but I mean, we named our brewery the Rare Barrel. So
yeah, I thought you were a fan of really weird names.
Yeah, I always thought the Rare Barrel would sound like something like a dog with peanut butter in his mouth trying to say a brewery name, just like
speciation.
Try it.
Speciation.
I can't do the sh. I have to do speciation.
Speciation.
Speciation. I can't do it.
Oh, it's hard.
There's a couple ways to pronounce it. There's multiple accepted pronunciations.
Are there?
And I would agree. Thank you, Mitch. And that's Mitch, by the way.
Jay, you're a talk show
owner
host,
and
man.
Head of fermentation.
You got to work on your elocution.
Speciation.
Execution. My elocution.
Mitch from Execution Brewing Company is on the line.
Specialization. I could go on and on.
Mitch Ermatinger. Nail it?
Yeah, you nailed that one.
All right, boom.
I don't have an internet pronouncer for that one, so you're going to have to just go with Jay's.
Or we'll go with the other person who's joining us in the studio behind the glass, Danica, the pronouncer.
Speciation.
Oh, man, that was so good. That was so good.
Speciation.
Nailed it.
All right. Like, coming back from the next break, or at the end of the show, like, for the last 1 second, Scott just cut the, whatever, Google lady that says it, and then put Danica's right next to it. I think that'll be just, like...
It's indistinguishable.
100% the same. All right. Bear with us, Mitch. We're just going to do this... Well, bear with us for many reasons, but we're going to do top of the show stuff. Contact us, 888-41-BEER. Join us in the chat, which actually, hey, get on the chat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it just Danica or?
We have a moderator tonight. Yeah. Bevo is usually, you know, not within 10 miles of the studio.
She's Netflixing and chilling.
That's right.
By the way, is this how old I am that I didn't realize that has a different meaning than just like actually literally.
Yeah, Netflixing and hanging out. When did you realize this?
Embarrassingly a short time ago.
Okay. And how did you realize this?
I don't remember actually. Yeah, but Danica could, you know, she's hip with the young kids.
That's
she's
right.
A millennial.
That's right.
Maybe.
The resident millennial. Can you explain to us, how did the Netflix and chill thing even come about? Well, first off, explain what Netflix and chill means that people might not know.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Netflix and chill is a way for gentlemen to invite their lady friend over to watch a movie.
You did the air quotes with your fingers when you said that.
That's what it used to be.
So they're going to Netflix and chill.
I don't understand. What are we talking about here?
Relations.
Bangarang.
They're also, Netflix is coming out with a weed strand to go with different episodes that their Netflix specials. They're coming out with weeds that you smoke.
What?
On each, like, this is this one for this show. And this
You're
is,
kidding me.
I just heard it from my friend yesterday. I was just going to look it up.
Mitch, I apologize that you live in Michigan. This is how we're living in Northern California.
I lived in Denver for a couple of years. So
that's true.
I know how it goes.
Actually, I'm glad you teased that out because that's not something we really delved into in the last show, no. Which if you're listening to this and for some reason you're an idiot and you skipped the last one, go back and listen to that one. And also, I apologize for just calling you an idiot. Feedback during the week. You can email us. That's a great thing to do because that's where a lot of our questions come from. And you can get it right on the air. And we love talking to you guys in that way. That's probably our most effective interaction with the listener, I would say.
Emailing?
Yeah.
It was heavy on the phone calls for the first few months of the show. And then the email's taken over since then.
Yeah. And I'm not like, you know, I tease about the phone call infrequency, and then we're trying to get people to review the show and do the song thing and all that stuff. But you know, I'm not trying to push molasses up a sandy hill or anything. I realize that the podcast format is very passive and you get to it when you get to it kind of thing. Yep. And email is the same way.
Yep.
So I just want to say I appreciate all the people who email. And I should say just personally, I'm very behind on my Brewing Network email. So, But I do, even if I don't get back to you directly, a lot of them I'll just end up, that's the case where I forward them to Scott and I'll tell him, hey, this is good for the show. Let's read it on the show. And that's why when I go to Scott for a question, we always have questions. So.
Yeah. And I think you do this at J-A-Y at thebrewingnetwork.com, by the way, and you do them in batches. I'm pretty sure, right? Like,
I think you sit down
and you're like, all right, I'm going to get through these. And you sit down and you like devote an afternoon to it once every week or 2 weeks or month or whatever it is.
Yeah. That's the only way to do email. That's the best way.
I guess it is.
It's tough, but I could be better.
You couldn't do your rare barrel email that way, could you? Like, there are some emails, like Mitch, You couldn't do your
speciation
email. You could, right? I mean, that you just kind of have to be on the daily, don't you?
I check my email. I try to check my email only 3 times a day. So first thing at when I get into work, and then I check it again at noon, and then I check it again usually at the end of the night when I'm getting to bed.
Jay's shaking his head.
No, you'd
be overwhelmed.
I'm not shaking. I'm shaking my head because that's such a good way to go about it. In fact, this is getting really wonky. But again, bear with me. I use Gmail and I use this thing called Boomerang. And if you guys are running a business or a craft brewery, I recommend getting the Boomerang app or extension to Gmail. Basically what it is it helps you manage your email. Let's say I'm going to write an email to someone. And you know when you write an email to someone and you're working on a project with them, and they emailed you, so now the ball is in your court. You're emailing them, hence putting the ball back into their court. But you're kind of counting on them to, at some point, remind you that it's on them to do whatever you're talking
about.
Right,
and they don't reply, and then the email goes into purgatory.
Yeah, what if they never reply?
Right.
And then
you hit archive, and it disappears until they remind you it exists again.
Exactly, and when you're in email hell, like trying to chip down email mountain, you're like, okay, I got rid of that one. Now I don't have to think of it until they reply to me. But maybe that's something really important that you need.
Yep.
So you use Boomerang, which is exactly what it sounds like. You click like, hey, send me this email back like it's a new email and do it in 1 hour. Mm. Do it in a day. Do it in a week. Do it in a month. Do it at this specific time. And then there's even an option to say, and this is a huge ad for Boomerang. We should be totally getting paid for this.
This segment brought to you by Boomerang.
By Boomerang.
Yes, Boomerang.
Yeah. And so anyway, and then you can click an option where it's like, but don't Boomerang it if they actually end up responding within that time frame. Mm-hmm. Great way to manage those types of conversations. Boomerang. And
boom.
How did we get here? Oh, yeah. So there's a new feature they just developed where you can pause your email. So you don't get any new emails while you're trying to chip down, so you don't get distracted. And they sent out this whole email about, you know, here's why we're doing this. And also we recommend, we've done all, here's all these studies about you should only answer emails a few times a day at certain times. So while I was shaking my head at what Mitch was saying, I was like, damn you, Mitch, you already had that. I don't know if you used Boomerang or read that email, but that's a smart man right there.
I don't, but I'm going to install it tonight. But this has definitely been one of the best things I've done as a business owner. It's helped me out. So, like, it saved me hours and hours every day.
Do you not, like, as a brewer who's, you know, I'm assuming plenty of the time you're wearing boots and, you're, you know, you're just sort of in the trenches there. Does it, I mean, for me, it would sort of mentally mess with me that, I know a looming pile of 27 messages is waiting for me and maybe distract me from my brewing duties. I mean, do you just, maybe you're not wired like I am and you just can get past it?
No, I totally am. I just decided that nothing is that important that it has to be answered, you know, in that 4-hour period that I haven't checked my email. And it took me a couple months to get to that point where I could just, you know, not let it stress me out and just check it occasionally. But it's helped immensely. Same with, I deleted Facebook Messenger from my phone for the same reason, because I just constantly get messages and it would distract me from whatever I was doing. So,
which is how I set up the show with Mitch.
Yeah, it is actually, but
I still
check it occasionally. I check my Facebook messages once a day, basically. So I get to it eventually.
Pro tips.
There you go.
Next week, Google Sheets.
Yeah, which I have open on my screen right now.
Yeah, do not get me started on Google Sheets. Anyway, if you do want to email us, we'll boomerang the shit out of that. Scott@thebrewingnetwork.com, Jay@thebrewingnetwork.com. Watch us live tonight. There's a lot happening. Scott is talking to Danica through the glass while I'm talking.
Yep.
It's not distracting at all. It's totally cool with me.
You just focus on
TheBrewingNetwork.com. Sorry, did I just talk over you? I wasn't paying attention to you. I was focusing on my craft. TheBrewingNetwork.com. You like that? That was pretty good. TheBrewingNetwork.com/TV. Listen live to us. The Brewing Network app. Just search BN Mobile in your search bars and subscribe and leave feedback on iTunes or wherever you subscribe to podcasts, unless it's anywhere else but Stitcher.
Yes.
And do we have a review or email suggesting a song for this?
Yeah.
I'll just...
You just keep going. I'll look it up.
Yeah, I'm just
going
to shout out our great sponsor, the Wine and Hop Shop, wineandhop.com. It's where you get your sour beer, wild yeast, and bacteria from Omega Yeast and Giga Yeast. Most items are going to ship within 24 hours, and best of all, BN listeners in the continental U.S. get a flat $8 shipping rate on orders under 25 pounds.
Yep.
That's an update just for you guys. They're like, you know what? No one likes this 50-pound thing. Let's get it down to 25 pounds. Everyone will love that better. Just enter BN Shipping in the notes field of the shopping cart, and the discount will be taken off after checkout. The Wine and Hop Shop, wineandhop.com. One of my personal favorite sponsors. A lot of good. Seriously, if you're listening to this and you haven't been on that website, go check it out. They have a lot of cool stuff. Not things you see on every homebrew site. So, seriously, you've been listening to the show for a long time. I'm talking to you. You're in your car. You're driving to work. And you have not been on wineandhop.com. Almost did it wrong. Pull over. You've got the LTE going.
Yep.
Wineandhop.com. Check it out. They got a lot of cool products on there. You know, you want to do small scale experiments? Hey, make some wine. We're talking about beer all the time. Make some wine. It is wineandhop.com.
Indeed,
also.
It is.
And wine is that enough vamping?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that was, you really honed your craft quite well in that
you.
Read. You're welcome.
I'm a craft honer.
Yeah, okay, so instead of, I'm just actually going to hear, I'm going to play the song. This is the song recommendation, and this time I'm just going to play the song.
Okay.
And we're going to decide what our opinions are now.
Oh, should we judge their song?
Yes.
I like this. Okay. Mitch, you can, let's go about 15 or 20 seconds, and then let's get you to chime in.
Now, keep in mind, now, this is a rejoin, right? So this is, it's got to kind of be a little slow build.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We won't judge them, except partially.
Maybe too slow a little bit.
So where am I coming in if this is a return? Yeah. Oh. Oh, hello.
Hi, this is Lauren from New Belgium Brewing Company, and you are listening...
Jay's the best.
...and learning from the Sour Hour, hosted by my crush Jay on the Brewing Network.
Wait, that's the whole song?
Wait.
Oh. It never really dropped. All right, so
but very pleasant.
Yay or nay?
I could just listen to that song like on a long road trip where like all the passengers have fallen asleep. I'm driving. I'd be like, yeah, this is nice.
Yeah, XM chill.
Looking at the outside. I don't know. What do you think, Mitch?
It kind of felt like that ring, or not the ringtone, but you know when you call like Comcast or whatever and they put you on hold? There's that like repetitive like elevator song. It reminded me of that.
That's bad. That's the negative. Scott?
Oh. That's it.
Classical music.
That's it.
You know, there was a whole like This American Life episode, I think it was, or maybe Radiolab. Did you hear it, Mitch, on this song particularly?
Yeah, it was so amazing.
It was fascinating. Do you remember if it was This American Life or Radiolab or what was it?
I think it was Reply All.
That might have been it. Reply All. This song was like engineered by some guy in like 1979, and it became the ubiquitous hold music for any. You called Ma Bell in 1986, and this is what you heard. And there is a whole subset of people that are obsessed with the song.
It's crazy.
They listen to it to go to sleep, and they spent years before the internet. They were like searching it out. How can I obtain a copy of this song? The freaking hold music.
Like millions of people hear that, and it's amazing that it just kind of randomly came up.
I can see it.
Can you really? Okay. I feel like we should talk about beer.
I feel like they should lay over like, in your eyes, the light, the heat, in your eyes. Yeah, here we go. In your eyes. No, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
Anyway, we'll remix it later after the show.
Did we do anything beer related in this segment?
No, we talked about Reply All mostly, but that's a good podcast, just like other BN shows. Brew Strong, Dr. Homebrew, Brewing the Style, and The Session.
Indeed.
How long have we been talking here? I can't even. I've lost all sense of space and time.
I think it's like 15 minutes or so.
What happens when you listen to that song. You just.
That's why it's such good hold music.
Exactly. I guess you're right, Mitch. Yeah. that's the design. So, well, one thing I want to do.
An email just came in. A question for Mitch. Do you want to do first?
I want to do what I do what I want to do, Scott. Always.
Yeah. Respect your authority. Let me do me. Yeah, all right.
Mitch. You know, I think a lot of people know about your background working at Former Future. Ooh, I just hit my mic. Former Future in Black Project. But, you know, maybe some people don't. Maybe some people haven't listened to that show. They're listening in reverse. What is your background? I think we talked earlier how you got into sour beer. Maybe jump from that to professional experience to starting your own brewery.
Sure. So I started my professional career, I don't know, 6 years ago at a homebrew shop here in Grand Rapids. And then I tried to get into the industry here beyond that. And just nobody was really hiring at that point. So we decided to move out to Denver. I got a job as a bartender at Former Future. James and Sarah hired me on. Before I even did a single bartending shift, James invited me to help him brew batch one. So I remember showing up there that morning and like the AHLT was empty and like nothing. We were starting from zero. And so we were like, okay, I guess we should heat some water up. So that's how we started. And I quickly just, I don't know. I really actually wanted to be a brewer, not a bartender. So I was pretty thrilled about the opportunity to help brew. I didn't even get paid. I don't think I got paid or anything. I was just like, yeah, I want to come help. And so I just kept showing up over and over and over again for like weeks. And then they're like, okay, we should pay you for this. And so I started assistant brewing. And then just over the next couple of months progressed to basically James was so busy with everything, like running the business, which is an absurd amount of work, that I just kind of took over the brewing operations. I was probably brewing 75% his recipes or more, but I took over all brewing operations essentially. And that's when I say brewing, I mean like from grain all the way onto glass, because it was just me. So it was ridiculously good experience, just essentially being the only employee there, seeing them go through all the shit that it took to get this brewery running. It was just such good experience for me. But along that process of brewing mostly clean beers for Former Future, James had always wanted to do spontaneously fermented beers. And, well, I think like our fourth or fifth batch, I screwed up and put an extra bag of grain in a batch. And we didn't realize until later, but we ended up watering it down a little bit and then throwing it up on the roof. That became the very first Black Project beer through James's crazy brain. Because I tried to talk him out of it. I tried to talk him out of throwing a beer in a huge stock pot up on the roof because it just sounded like there's no way this beer could be good. He just forced us to do it. So we got the toast wraps up and lugged it up to the roof, and it was crazy. But so that ended up winning a medal at GABF in the specialty category.
Oh yeah, it did.
That's all for Denver's microflora, I guess. So
well, you guys have the advantage being so close to GABF with that local microflora. You know, right. It stays fresh. Yeah, that's why. That's the only reason.
Up to
that's
all the yeast in the air from all those brewers sending their beer to GABF, or it just being Denver. That could be the case as well. So yeah, from there it just progressed on, and James was always the mastermind behind Black Project, but it was like speciation definitely would not exist without his input and guidance, and just like me learning from all of the good things that he did and all the like stupid things that he did that I tried to talk him out of. But it was a super great experience.
Awesome. Now talk a little shit about James and Sarah. No, just her. They're the best. Two of the nicest people I've ever met in craft brewing.
Really, so. They every time I'm with them, I drink too much. So that's the most shit I can talk about.
I hear you on that.
He's got to get you to go along with his crazy ideas, right? So he's got to lube you up a little bit.
Well, last time I saw Jay, I was with James, and I think Jay was trying to get us to play some strange game about the amount of instruments he played.
What? Elaborate.
Yeah, in D.C. for CBC. I cannot remember the details for obvious reasons, but
we were at some divey bar, which is, and that could apply to many things I don't remember that well. And I think I don't remember the rules. I actually invented this game.
It was definitely an invented game.
Yeah.
Wait, but musical instruments? What is that part?
So it was like we'd go around the table and you, Scott.
Yeah.
You know, if the focus was on you, we'd be like, all right, you need to say a number. And that's how many musical instruments. At some point, you like legitimately kind of knew how to play. You don't have to be great at it. You just like either took a lesson or like owned a piece of equipment. Was that? And sure. So, what would that number be for you?
Such vague rules.
It would be four.
Four. So then we would go around the table. So I would go first, and I would say piano.
Yes.
Okay. And then I would keep going, and I'd say something. Maybe I'm just feeling cocky. I'll say something crazy like violin.
No.
No? Okay.
Although my kid brother is expert violin player, so cool. Does that count?
No, but okay. So then I'm going to take a drink of my beer. Now go ahead, Mitch.
Mandolin.
we're just trying to drink that at this point.
Yeah, right. But anyway, I'm dying to take a sip of beer.
That's the way the game goes. And basically, it ended up being kind of a cool way to like get to know people and like just a weird
it's an icebreaker.
Yeah,
like if Mitch hit on mandolin, it'd be like, wait, hold on, time out.
Yeah, you must know him somehow.
Then, well, no, but then there's like, what's the backstory of like you playing mandolin?
Oh, sure,
crazily.
I like it. Good game.
Yeah, that was that. And we hate James and Sarah. Not just love those two. So now we're doing a question.
We are. A quick question here for you, Mitch, from Mike Turiff, who says, can you ask Mitch, please, about his love affair with his forklift?
Oh, boy.
That's the end of the question, so I'm assuming you know what he means.
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked that it's taken this long for it to come up, honestly. But I don't know. So we don't have a brew house here. We contract works. I don't even have a real pump here. We have just this tiny little pump that I only use for sanitizing our stainless IBCs. So everything is transferred with gravity with a forklift. I just lift it up, hook up the next tank, open up the valve, and let it run in. So because of that, I post a lot of pictures of this forklift, and apparently it's become a meme on Milk the Funk, as well as some other places, because I don't really have anything to show off. Like, I don't have a sexy, expensive brew house, so I have to post pictures of my late 90s electric forklift.
Any concerns that come up with that?
Like safety?
Yeah. Or anything.
Electrocution?
I don't think any organization that rhymes with, I don't know, BOSHA or something like that could be possibly be listening to this podcast.
Well, how many employees do you have?
We have four employees. And the only ones that drive the forklift are certified, as well as myself.
You work with your wife, is that right?
She is part owner, but until recently, she hasn't really been super active in, like, day-to-day business, essentially.
Is she forklifting?
Decisions.
Yeah, is she certified?
No, she's not.
Probably for the best. One of you has to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is an interesting... I know we're a little over time, but I always wonder about... you know, you mentioned James and Sarah. Does Sarah work with James, like, on the daily with the brewery?
Yeah, definitely. Every day.
So what do you think about, like... You know, if I'm listening and I'm thinking about starting a brewery, or I'm thinking about bringing my significant other in on operations, what are some of the, you know, drawbacks and benefits
I'd
of doing
say
that?
Make sure that, like, you understand the ramifications of that. So, like, every day, shit's going to hit the fan and you're going to have to figure stuff out together. And I think as long as you are realistic about your expectations with working with each other and you're super compatible, then it can work. It just depends person to person. If you're really, I don't know, abrasive or aggressive or whatever, or you just don't see eye to eye, then it's probably not the best idea. But James and Sarah, there's always conflicts with anybody starting a business. It's just part of the deal. James and Sarah were really good about just hashing it out, like, right away. If there's a problem, they'd hash it out. So I think just depends person to person.
Yeah, Scott and I cannot do that.
Yeah. No, but when you said, like, well, if you're maybe abrasive or whatever, both Jay and I pointed to ourselves.
You're like, no. Yeah. Excellent. That question and all relationship questions on the show are brought to you by sourbeerblog.com. Send all your relationship questions to Dr. Lambic.
Yeah.
He is the longest running relationship on the Sour... Wait, no, sponsor on the Sour Hour. Yeah. And now Matt is going to open a new... Sour and farmhouse focus, Mitch's favorite term, brewery in central Pennsylvania.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, I know. We should get into that too at some point, because that's one of my my bugaboos. Just the what is farmhouse, what is wild, and what is
right.
All that stuff.
Yep.
You know, it's just it's weird. But anyway, help Dr. Lambic get started. Join our founders club, which includes 8 exclusive bottles of club-only aged and blended sour beer. And you know what? Honestly, I really don't have to read the rest, because we've had their beers. Moscow's shaking his head.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm nodding. I'm not shaking my head.
I think I've said this on the show. A lot of the homebrew beers we've been lucky enough to get are really up there on the commercial scale.
Yeah, they were already professional quality, so what will the professional beers taste like?
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's a whole new category.
I have no idea, but Dr. Lambic is definitely in that category. So you're going to get 8 exclusive bottles of those, early access to all the other public bottle releases, a hooded sweatshirt, which may or may not have a zip, a pair of tasting glasses, Club Growler, the ubiquitous Metal Challenge coin, and not to mention discounts and much more. I don't know what possibly you could want more, but you're demanding,
you'll
so you're going to demand more, even though he's already giving you all those things. I think you should be polite. You know, he's a sponsor of the show.
Yeah.
Don't demand that much more, but he's giving you much more.
Maybe ask for something to be taken off the list.
Yeah,
it's
actually, you know
much.
What? You keep the glasses. I live far away, and they're going to break in
right.
Transit, maybe. And just
exactly.
Keep those, and just do you.
Seems fair.
To learn more... and join the Founders Club. Check out Mellow Mink Brewing at mellowmink.com. I want my hoodie, by the way.
Can
we get an honorary
Mellow Mink hoodie?
I mean, I'll pay for a Founders Club, but I just want a hoodie.
Yeah.
We're going in a winter.
It's
a nice looking logo.
I think we've earned hoodies. I'll have to... I need to call the guy anyway. It's been too long.
Yeah.
I don't know where he is.
We'll
do
it.
He's probably neck deep in... sludge somewhere in a
90s
forklift basement.
Yeah.
I was gonna say emails.
Yeah, emails totally.
But he uses Boomerang. best sponsor this hour, longest running sponsor. No.
Very quickly, I would be remiss if I didn't mention before we go to break the Maniacal Brewing beer, as I mentioned on the last show and had been mentioned on previous shows, that Justin from Maniacal nicely sent in. And we're drinking the Wild Pitch Beast, which is a dark, sour, barrel-aged.
Is this the one we're drinking?
Which one is it? Oh, I'm wrong. Oh, sorry. That's not what we're drinking. What is that?
The Color Plum.
There you go.
Label's a little bit. The Color Plum. Yeah.
Okay. It's it's just a handwritten label because I don't believe Maniacal has had releases yet, or they're right about to, or whatever. But he sent in some nice hand bottled stuff, and we got it in our glasses. So just wanted to thank Justin one more time. And
thank you.
There's more where that came from. We'll drink them on future shows.
All right. Break time.
Yes, sir.
You hanging in for one more, Mitch?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, we got one more beer. Tequila,
yeah, we got your beer.
Barrel-aged.
Going to do a tequila beer with Mitch right back on the Sour Hour.
Hi, this is Ryan Wheaton, the host of a new podcast called Branding Brews. Branding Brews is a show focused on marketing, branding, and design for the beer industry. I have spent over 14 years as a professional designer. As a host, I bring my knowledge to the show to interview other great beer professionals. Whether you're thinking about starting a brewery, already own a brewery, want to learn more about marketing beer, or you're a seasoned veteran, this show is for you. This show will cover topics such as rebranding a brewery, package and label design, crowdfunding, design, social media, plus much more related to promoting and creating a great beer brand. Make sure to check out the show along with useful show notes at brandingbrews.com. You can also subscribe to the Branding Brews podcast in iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Again, check us out at brandingbrews.com.
Hey, this is Lauren from New Belgium Brewing Company, and you are listening and learning from the Sour Hour on the Brewing Network.
This is Jason Chrome's suggestion.
Let's hear a little bit more.
I'm evil to the core. What I shouldn't do, I will. They say I'm emotional. What I want to say, I'll kill.
See, it's tough because the lyrics kick in only maybe 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's a short intro. And really what makes the best rejoiners is longer intros or lyricless songs. Now, I can cut. Because often,
you did the liner well right there. It was like a little murky at one point, but then you really hit on the timing. That was very well done.
Thank you. Yeah, so the thing is with, you know, if a song has a good long intro, you know 30 seconds, 40 seconds before the vocals kick in, inevitably the song, because it follows song structure, will have a like a bridge or a solo or something after the first two verses. And I can often jump from the intro to that little thing in between verse. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the guitar solo in between verse 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And I can make it a nice long rejoin. So it doesn't need to be an instrumental by any means, but it needs to kind of have a little bit more of a build.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, I like 21 Pilots and I like Jason Chrome's initiative.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
You know, hey, this is the beginning right here. So.
Exactly.
Let's have this discussion together. Welcome back. What podcast is this?
The music show.
The Rejoiner Hour.
The Rejoiner Hour.
Or as the chat room was calling it, the THP Hour.
Is that right? Was that what they were saying?
That's what Danica said. That's from the last show, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you get someone like me and someone like Mitch, you know, talking. That's what we're going to talk about.
Indeed.
It's what we do. Quick thanks to more of our sponsors: Oregon Fruit Products, aseptic purees, easy to use, convenient to store, no additives or artificial flavors, simply great expression of the raw fruit. They love working with brewers to help us innovate. Check them out at fruitforbrewing.com. Oregon Fruit, they bring fruit to life. And just one more while I'm on a roll here: the Homebrew Label Awards, they're back. Submit your artwork at homebrewlabelawards.com and let your homebrewing peers shower you with votes. The labels with the most votes can win fabulous prizes. Pretty easy, huh? Yeah. I just added that. Last year, we handed out over $5,000 worth of prizes, which is, that's pretty awesome. That's legitimate.
Yeah, it's a lot of cash.
That's awesome. And this year, we're doing it again. We are, Scott. No me, labels?
Yep.
No problem.
Me, you, and Grog Tag.
Yep. Yeah, Grog Tag. And what's... We never actually... We have this Grog Tag one. What's the Grog Tag website? GrogTag.com.
Yeah.
Could have guessed that. Cast your vote on your favorite labels. Help your fellow homebrewer achieve fame and glory. That's homebrewlabelawards.com. And just... Even if you're not going to submit homebrew, maybe you're a pro brewer, just go to that website and look at the last place ones.
Yeah, yeah, the bad ones. The because bad ones, quote unquote.
I'm going to vote. I'm going to go vote, and I'm just going to retroactively vote for the last year's last place ones. That's the best ones.
Honestly, they're great. And if you know, this is also a great point. Like, you know, in the last segment, we were drinking Maniacal Brewing beers that were lovingly hand bottled by Justin out there at Maniacal. It's a great, like, let's say you have a release you haven't released yet and you want to send some beer to the yokels over on the Sour Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Use Grog Tags, man. I mean, Justin, I love you, buddy, for labeling these beers. But, sure. You know, he wrote with a pen on a piece of paper. Yeah, why not try Grog Tag?
Yeah, we were confused a little bit. Not your fault, Justin. Just like, you know, there's condensation and there was a little...
Right. Yeah, they fall off. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to mention, Scott. So we had been teasing out a future show. You just mentioned sending beers to us. So this is why it spurted in my mind of, hey, here's our beer with, I don't know what this flavor is. Right. Off flavor or whatever, just weird flavor. I think we should do that in January. I think we should target a date in January. So contact Scott at thebrewingnetwork.com, I would say. Arrange the shipping details. And if there's just something that eludes you, we'll see if I can get some Rare Barrel staff in here, maybe also to get some backup so Scott doesn't overpower me with his opinions, which, you know, happens. He bullies me.
I'm not a bully. I'm just right. There's a difference.
Okay, whatever you say. I remember on the last show, and maybe the show before, we had talked about this this show idea, and I remember thinking, we got to put it far out there a little bit, and I think that's the first time we could do it, actually. So we'll target January, but start receiving some beers and just get into contact with Scott. Scott at thebrewingnetwork.com.
Yeah, and even if you're not sure, you know, I did get a few emails after the last round of shows with the Rare Barrel crew where we first announced this, and some people were like, I don't really know.
If you're not sure,
just send me an email and we'll give it a try.
And if the beer's good, we'll just say, hey, this is good.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll shame you.
How dare you think this was bad? It's actually great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Mitch, are you I can't believe if you're still there, but are you still there?
I'm still here.
Bless you. And you're on, let's see, you're west coast of Michigan. That's still Eastern Standard Time, right?
We're Eastern.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm lucky enough to have gone out to Western Michigan every summer for the last several years. My girlfriend's family has a place right there. You know, Mitch mentioned, I think his parents live in Holland, and that's where... my girlfriend's family goes, and it's gorgeous there. Great place. Love all of Michigan, and especially Western Michigan. So definitely go see Speciation out there if you're in the area. But there's just something crazy during the summer with like the sun just staying up over the over Lake Michigan way later than you think sunlight should be out for anything. Just because, I guess, is it because it's on like the far west end of Eastern time? Is that it?
Yep,
or?
Exactly. So it's light, like. In the middle of summer, it's light outside at like 10:30.
Crazy.
It's absolutely... Just imagine like, you know, six cocktail in for the night, six sour beer in, both combined, watching the sunset go down at 10:30 over Lake Michigan. It's gorgeous.
Imagine
it's
having gorgeous. Young kids and you're like, you got to go to bed, Timmy. Yeah. And he's like, what, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I remember going to bed as a kid at like, you know, 9 o'clock or whatever. And
it's light out.
It's
like
completely light out. Why would I go to bed?
That's rough.
We had my girlfriend's niece and nephew out there, and the only night they were allowed to stay up was because we were out for 4th of July, and that was great, but then, man, all night, they were just, like, bouncing off the walls, and that was bad times, but good times for them. All right, so we got
this
getting
beer,
back
man.
To reality and this podcast that I guess we're on the air on.
That's a beer.
We have Incipient, another version, which is the tequila barrel age version.
Yeah, with a whole bunch of other stuff. Blood orange, guava, lime, salt... This is a fantastic.
So I gotta say, Scott and I have been tasting this off air, and I'll say just personally that I got a flavor in here of an ingredient that I was surprised was not in here. But there's so many ingredients intermingling here. Tell us what you think about this beer, how you made it, what's going on with this version of Incipient.
Sure. We started with our base golden sour, which is just Pilsner, wheat, oats. That's it. And we threw it in fresh tequila barrels. I'm not sure exactly where they came from because the only identifying label on the barrels was a piece of paper across the bung. And they must have gotten wet in transit. So they're like, you can't even read it. So with spirit barrels, I really like working with them, but I'm always super cautious as well. So when I use fresh bourbon barrels, I almost always blend at a ratio of 2 bourbon barrels, like fresh ones, to 4 neutral barrels.
Wow.
Because when you have a beer this dry, it just doesn't stand up to the alcohol, heat, and everything from a fresh bourbon barrel. In my opinion, I want to make a balanced beer. So most spirit barrels, I either blend it with neutral barrels, or in this case, I just leave it in there for a very short amount of time. And so this spent about 3.5-4 weeks in fresh tequila barrels. And I actually went on Oregon Fruits website.
Nice.
Killing
it. Ordered some blood orange and pink guava. And so we used that. That's actually my first time using their products as speciation, but I had used them quite a bit at Black Project and Former Future and really, really enjoyed them. So, and normally I'm very restrained with everything. If I do add fruit, it's just one fruit. And so this time I was just like, oh, screw it. We'll just go all out. I had been drinking a lot of margaritas at the time. and also a lot of smoothies at the time. I'd basically start every day with a smoothie and end every day with a margarita.
That's why you need a smoothie.
Healthy living.
So I guess something from that translated into a beer. And so this is what happened.
And I alluded to this earlier. There's some element of this. I think it's the lime.
And now I wonder if Mitch can guess what flavor you think you're picking
go
up
ahead.
On.
I can't. I honestly can't. Is it what? Well, give me a little more guidance. Is it like fruit or earth or what?
I think it's like the lime mixed with the orange mixed with Jay has a beer on here at the Brewing Network Studios that has this ingredient in it.
That also has guava in that beer.
Yeah, there's guava in that beer. Yeah, it's gonna be a tough one. Have you ever had any rare barrel beers yet, Mitch?
No, never. No, okay. I'm just kidding.
It's possible.
I've had a fair share, but I've probably drank, outside of my beers, I've probably only drank 10 sour beers in the last, like, 3 or 4 months.
So. Oh, wow. Okay.
It's busy. It's busy life starting a brewery, for sure.
Yeah, it's difficult.
But the thing I get out of this, just strangely, and this is neither here nor there and probably not that interesting for the listener, it just struck me strongly when I first smelled and tasted this beer, is ginger.
Yeah.
And I really just think it's coming from the lime. But
yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be.
Well, and I'll tell you why that can be interesting for the listener is that they can sort of hear the ingredients that Mitch used in this beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, use that to, well, that's maybe I can, a ginger character might come out of my beer if I use some of these ingredients. Like, it's definitely the lime. I think it has got to be something to do with, like, the orange, or it's some mix of these characteristics. The
perhaps, you know, I think sometimes, like, citrus can have, like, a spiciness. Yeah, a spicy character.
Right.
Almost like a hot burn with, like, the zest kind of thing.
Exactly.
Lime also, we've used peel, we've used zest, and the character's so different. Like, we use lime peel, and it's like comes out so strongly. It's like baked goods. Yeah. Just interesting. Like, you can put lavender in a beer, and it just reeks of honey. And it's really fun to play around with. And I think once you incorporate like 2, 3, 4 ingredients into a beer, when it's as drinkable as this one, and I love this beer. Great job on this, Mitch. But it's just like, you get so many different experiences out of each sip, so much richness. It's a lot of fun. I like beers like this where maybe at first glance, you're just like, wow, there's a whole shit ton of ingredients in here. But then
it's kind of tough to sift through all the ingredients at first. But I think that as you drink it more and more, the individual ingredients kind of stand out a little more.
That and more. So it's like the one.
So there's like another entity that comes out of those, that combination.
Yeah, it's like the classic 1 plus 1 equals 3, or in this case, 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 5. And I really, that's how it is. You know, you cook a dish and it's like the most rich and, you know, enjoyable foods are like, you know, it's not salt, you know, except unless it's like filet mignon, I guess.
Sure.
Like, you know, it's like, you know, salt, pepper, paprika, garlic, onion powder, shallots, red pepper, like
balance all the individual ingredients.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that I like about what is happening in craft beer. And it's almost like there's a natural evolution towards that because there's so many breweries, right? So it's like, you can't just make an apricot sour beer. I mean, everyone does do that anyway, but it's just like, you know, it's hard to be so different from the next brewery's apricot sour. So take inspiration from cocktails and cuisine and tea and all this other stuff.
It's definitely cocktail inspired. And we have a number
and
of
smoothie.
Other beers.
And smoothies, yeah.
Yeah, and smoothies, yeah. I, like I mentioned earlier, I don't drink a lot of sour beer. I drink a lot of pilsners. I drink a lot of cocktails. I guess that's kind of the direction that a lot of our beers is heading in, or are heading in.
Mitch, I want to just quickly about this particular beer.
I could use some more, Scott.
Oh, yes, sir. How do you add the ingredients to the tequila barrel all at once, all these secondary ingredients, or if not, like what order?
Good question.
Yeah, for this particular beer, it spends 3.5-4 weeks in barrels, and then we transferred it back to a stainless IBC and added the blood orange and guava puree. After that was done fermenting and we were satisfied with the flavors, we added lime zest, and then we juiced the limes and added the lime juice. And then the zest sat in there for, I think, like, we put it in a bag, and I think that sat in there for a day or maybe 2 days. And then we pulled that out, and then we bottled it pretty much immediately. And we added salt at bottling. And anytime I add salt, I get my priming sugar solution ready. I always prime with a solution of water and cane sugar. And then we add salt to that after everything's dissolved and just stir it up and then stir it into the batch. So that's when I add salt, just honestly, just out of ease. It's a lot easier to add it at that point. And I haven't experienced any fermentation weirdness from it. But maybe that's where the ginger's coming from. I don't know.
Yeah,
I read all the Untappd reviews, and I haven't heard ginger yet. So.
Well, I'm logging on right now. So.
Damn it.
6 stars.
All right, I'll take that.
Out of 10.
All right. Well, I think, do we have a chat?
Yeah, there's a couple
questions
more.
Scott?
Thanks for hanging out.
Then we're
going to
get you out of here soon,
yeah,
Mitch.
Exactly. So one last chat question here from Eric, who says he loves your beers. He says he knows your space is limited, but do you have plans on long-term aging and then like blending old with young a la Cantillon?
Oh.
Yeah. So we started the brewery definitely with a focus on quick-turning wild ales, just because that's what my experience is with my test batches and that kind of stuff. I wanted to make something that was pretty complex, relatively short amount of time, like 3-4 months. But also my experience at Black Project, I wanted to incorporate a spontaneous program. So we brewed one batch this March, I guess, up at Ordock in Marquette. And we cool shipped it next to Lake Superior. And then we drove it back to Grand Rapids, transferred it to barrels, and it's still sitting in those barrels. So where we're going with that is we essentially want to do a cool ship batch next to each of the Great Lakes just to see what happens. They might all taste super similar. They might be very different. I guess we'll find out in like 2 to 3 years. So we want to release the really good barrels on their own, and we also want to release kind of a blend of all of those batches, assuming they taste good. I've never done this before, so I'm like this exact thing.
Well, the one thing that's certain is one will be superior.
Jay,
damn it.
I literally was walking. Jay just took his headphones off and is leaving. My joke was going to be that I hope the superior one is the worst beer. For irony's purposes. But we both thought of the same stupid joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
So, that's like our plan. That's what I'm mostly everything here is quick turning. Well, relatively quick turning, 3 to 4 months. But we do have a spontaneous program in the works that we're going to do lots of aged stuff, fruited, spontaneous beers, that kind of stuff. But we don't really hold any kind of tradition. I'm not like a method goose guy. That's fine that other people want to do it, but I just don't think that that's really our thing. I just want to make beer that's, you know, totally specific to Comstock Park, basically.
There you go. Thank you for the question, Eric. And I just thought of another one, which is if one of them turns out really, really bad, you can call it the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
You don't get it, Jay?
I don't get that.
Come
one.
On. That's a ship that famously sunk on, was it Lake Michigan?
I think there might be a cease and desist from that one. I don't know. Maybe it'll be
from that joke?
Only beer or something.
All right. I've been looking forward the whole show to this question, Jay. Please.
All right, Mitch, we got to get you out on this one. What's the biggest mistake in sour beer making, in your opinion?
Oh, man, that's tough. I guess I'd say the biggest mistake in sour beer making is that a lot of brewers just kind of jump in, which is fine, but they jump in and they don't develop their own style. They don't develop their own, like, methods and that kind of stuff. They just jump in and kind of make – they mash high – throw in a little pitch of Brett, throw in a barrel for 3 years, and it turns into this weird, like, acetic thing. And then they bottle it up and sell it for a lot of money. And I guess that's my biggest problem, the biggest mistake with sour brewing, in my opinion. It's just not developing your own thing. You got to do some research and experiment, come up with your own style.
Love that. As I always do, I lied. That's not the last question. Where can people find your beer?
So we are open to the public the second Saturday of every month, and we do a ticketed release. So the first Saturday of every month at noon, tickets go up on our Facebook page, our website, and Eventbrite. So you just go there, you reserve however many bottles you want. It's free to reserve them. And then the second Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., you just come in here and pick up the bottles. And if you don't live in Michigan or within a whatever radius of Michigan, we allow proxies. So our proxy process is super simple. We just need a local proxy, and then just send them a copy of your ID and your ticket. And we have customers all around the country, and some guy ordered some beer from Africa.
Wow.
Randomly last month. So, like, he just sent over his ID, and that's all you really need.
Did he buy all of the genetic drift? Because I have some proxies in Holland that I could have come by.
I can send you some.
Excellent.
Oh, good.
It's good to know people.
Yeah.
Well, Mitch, thanks so much. That was a great show. I think we could have done 2 or 3 more. Oh, here we go. Your walk-off song.
We're sending them off, yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, awesome. Mitch. And thanks for sending the beer, brother. It was awesome.
Cheers.
Mitch Ermitinger.
From Speciation.
Speciation Artisan Ales. Owner/head of fermentation. Danica?
Speciation.
Speciation.
Oh, very good. Very good. We got one more segment, right?
We do.
Before we do, I want to give a quick shout out. By the way, Mitch, great job. Great beers.
Mitch.
Awesome stuff.
Appreciate it.
Really good. Really, really good. Now, I have a, you know, I might have mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned this on the air or off the air, but the first time I went out to Michigan, Western Michigan, to Holland, went all the way across over to Dexter to go to Jolly Pumpkin. Came back, went to Bell's, went to Founders, and it was an awesome, awesome time. Michigan is a great beer state, and I love going to all those breweries. But of course, Jolly Pumpkin is a pilgrimage, and you know, Mitch made that point as well during the show. Just that, you know, Bam Beer is just such an amazing beer. Jolly Pumpkin is an amazing brewery, and what a place to be around when you're starting a sour brewery. But the fact that Speciation is now just an inch outside of Grand Rapids is wonderful for, you know, what are one of the cities in the United States that are kind of claiming themselves as, you know, kind of Beer City USA. And Grand Rapids, you know, they're pushing that. And, you know, I think there's a lot of great beer cities. I think, you know, if you do the greater Bay Area, San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, maybe even stretched out a little bit farther, you know, that's got to be up there, Portland, Denver. But do not sleep on Western Michigan, seriously.
Yeah.
It's a great, beautiful place and awesome beer. So if you ever find yourself around the Great Lakes, especially Superior, check it out. Speciation, a second Saturday of every month. And, yeah, great beers.
Yes, sir.
I never really did my my read here, did I? I was going to talk about iDip. One moment, please, Danica.
Do you dip, I dip, we dip.
There you go.
There we go. To all the women in the world. You all need a home or commercial use water testing kit. It's going to incorporate a revolutionary photometer.
You put your hand on that photometer. Dip it in the water.
I ruined it. Which is the first and only on the market. We should probably check and see if that's all true. The copy's so old. There's dust on this copy. It's so old. Anyway, it's the first and perhaps only on the market with its own app. The iDip can perform over 40 water quality tests, including things like chloride, calcium hardness, pH, sulfate, and much more. Podcast listeners such as yourself should enter code TBN10 at checkout and save $10 on either the standard or advanced smart brew testing kit. Order now and make this futuristic technology part of your life and your brewing process. Visit www.smartbrewkit.com. And you know what? If you guys are out there and you have bought the iDip, send us an email.
Yeah.
Tell us what your experience has been like. We'll read it on the air.
Yes.
That time now, well, I'm a professional.
Send us an email.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll still play this on the way out, Scott. We'll be right back on the Sour Hour.
Are you a member of the American Homebrewers Association? Well, you should be. Members of the AHA can focus on brewing beer, and the AHA takes care of the rest. The American Homebrewers Association advocates on behalf of homebrewers like you to legalize the hobby in all 50 states and make sure that beer laws make sense. Plus, there are many great benefits that come with your AHA membership, like pub discounts that give you awesome deals at bars, restaurants, breweries, and more. Zymergy Magazine and eZymergy for tons of articles, how-tos, easy-to-follow recipes, and news about the hobby you love, and access to the members-only content on homebrewersassociation.org. But the AHA can't do it without your support. Join today so the American Homebrewers Association can keep fighting for your home brewing rights. Visit homebrewersassociation.org or join right now from the homepage of the Brewing Network website. Relax. Don't worry. It's the American Homebrewers Association.
We're back. It's the Sour Hour. Great show tonight. Double episode, a lot of information, great stuff. I think we're pretty confident on our next show. Maybe I could tease it out here. I mean, it's not going to come out, actually, but these shows will come out before those, so it'll all work out.
Yes.
Not for the live listeners, but Deschutes Brewing Company.
So excited.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable beer. Some of my heroes, just overall, not even in sour and wild beer, but lucky enough to get them on the show. So we're looking forward to that 1 week from today. So if you're listening live right now, look forward to that. It's going to be great.
I think the last time they were on the Brewing Network was in June of 2011 when Larry Sador, who was the brewmaster at the time, joined us on the session. It's been a long time coming to have him back.
It's been a long time, and now let's talk about everything but Black Butte Porter. No.
Yeah, totally.
I could easily talk for 2 hours about Black Butte Porter.
I left that beer, man. It's still a go-to for me. I love
easily,
that beer.
Easily. Yeah. Definitely like one of the top 2, 3, 4, 5 beers that got me into craft beer.
Me too.
For sure.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, oh. Dark beer's good. I don't drink Bud Light.
Totally.
Okay, cool. I'm in. Mention one of our great friends over at the Brew Guru app, American Homebrewers Association. Have you seen what this app can do for you?
Who hasn't?
I assume you have because I've told you to go see what this does for you. So if you haven't, again, pull over your car and download the Brew Guru app because you're going to be able to effortlessly find deals and save money on beer, food, and brewing supplies. Level up your brew IQ, which, I mean, let's face it, it's kind of low right now. With hand-picked articles, proven recipes, and trusted resources from American Homebrewers Association and Zymergy Magazine. And use the powerful brewery locator to find nearby breweries, tap rooms, beer bars, homebrew supply shops, and brew pubs. Those are all the things. Wherever you are, Brew Guru will lead you to good beer. Get the app today. Follow your path to beery enlightenment. It's free for iPhone. I did that on purpose this time. iPad and Android devices. Get the app today. And I just read that, Scott.
Get the app today.
I got see when I do like a nice ad lib, I get a little cocky and then I mess up the next one. That's my thing.
Yep.
Learn more, at homebrewersassociation.org. One more thing, Scott.
Yeah, what?
The Chamonix Creek.
Oh yeah, in Pennsylvania.
Yep. Philly. They're on the Philly beer scene. In fact, three times they've been named Philly Beer Scene Magazine Brewer of the Year.
It was just twice.
No, three times.
Wow.
Speaking of three medals at GABF, two-time Vienna-style lager medal winner, one-time bronze for smoke lager, and I'm calling my shot on this. Another smoke lager medal.
You're calling it for 2017?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
2017 smoke lager medal for Neshaminy Creek. I don't even know if they're submitting it.
Who knows? It's not a bad prediction.
I haven't talked to them.
These guys know
I'm
how to cold ferment, don't
I'm,
they?
I'm putting my money where my mouth is, except I'm putting no money where my mouth is. But they are. They've got a renovated tasting room with a variety of beer styles from hoppy double IPAs to sessionable and poundable lagers to oak fermented saisons and sour beers. Free brewery tours on Saturdays. New second location opening this past spring. I forgot about that again. So funny. Check them out. ChamonixCreekBrewing.com. Okay, so let's do some questions and then let's call it a day.
Yeah, let's.
We got another show in a week, so you know don't want to put it all out on the field.
No,
gotta save some.
Yep. So we'll just do a couple quick ones. First one is Ben Raymond, who says, "I just
two first names."
Yeah, Ben.
Can't trust him.
Middle name Mike. Ben Mike Raymond says, "I just put two and two together on this rare barrel release of There Are Rules. The label art is about as subtle as you can get, but the bowling pin head tipped me off."
Wait. He's spoiling the Easter egg, but okay, we'll keep going.
Mark at 8, dude.
Smokey, this is not nom.
This is not
bowling.
Nom.
There are rules.
Eight. Yeah, it's hard to believe that somebody listening to this show would not understand that reference.
Oh, I don't think so. I've seen the movie. I can't say that I, like, other than it coming up for this beer, like, would have known that, like, it's not nom, there are rules.
Dog has fucking papers. Over the line!
God, I love John Goodman so much.
It's so good. I guess I'm just not even going to say. If you don't know what we're referencing, please Google There Are Rules.
The Rare Barrel, There Are Rules.
Yeah, right.
There's references.
Ben goes on and says, awesome movie references aside, I'm guessing you might be alluding to the peach apricot blend that seems to be in, quote, the rules, end quote, of stone fruit sours. The raspberry took it in an even further direction, but added that red fruit tartness. Am I reading too far into this name with regard to the fruit? Or is there something, this fruit combo under the Rare Barrel roof? He says, keep doing what you're doing, a founder since day zero. And he says he still thinks the Brewers games were rigged. Hashtag team pupil.
They certainly were rigged because I think he's referring to the Society.
Yes.
Beer Olympics.
Yes.
At Society Brewing Company out of San Diego, California. Great brewery. Had one of their beers earlier tonight. Great beer. The Bachelorette. They invited us down for Brewers Olympics, and I was certain after looking at the list of games, which deliberately did not include cornhole, by the way,
because I know you'll run the table.
That's what I thought. I was like, okay, we're last. It's like malt stacking and like clamp flipping, and I'm like, I don't know, we're a sour beer brewery. We're like mostly a wood cellar. And
right.
It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I lost all of my events handily, especially the chugging one. that was really embarrassing.
Poor
I think I came in dead last out of everyone. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, easily. But then I just slowly slipped my harlot, and I was very happy. Anyway, fast forward to the end. We won. We won the whole thing.
That's right.
And it was all Mike, Alex, and Logan. I was just coach.
Now I'm jogging
point.
My memory. You tanked it, and you still won.
Alex did barrel toss.
That's right.
Mike and Logan did yeast water balloon toss and malt stacking. And, yeah, they won it, and I was just along for the ride. So, but it was definitely rigged from that perspective. And what was the question?
Ben's question was, there are rules. Is the rules alluding to the peach-apricot blend? Like, that's the rules of Stone Fruit Sour?
No, not really. It's really just the movie reference. and I don't, to me, I mean, some of our description online about the beer might contradict this, but to us, we were just like, we just like that combination. And it was a really light touch on raspberry, which is unusual. So raspberries, probably the most, maybe up there with like passion fruit, one of the most powerful fruits we've used, because some fruits like peach, for example, and strawberry and plum, things like that, you kind of like got to double up, triple up on what you think might get you there on flavor intensity. But raspberry is not one of those fruits. Mm. So we really kind of held back, and because the base beer had a light apricot, a light peach, and we're like, let's keep it all light, and it's more saison-y. That was actually one of our first like more saison forward fermentation. So anyway, there's a lot going on with that beer. I'm not sure like all of that is encapsulated by the beer name, but I mean, you know, it's Big Lebowski. So
Smokey, this is not Nom, this is bowling. There are rules.
There you go.
There you go. All right, let's do one. Thank you for the question, Ben. And
very good question.
I'm with you too, dude. Hashtag team pupil. Let's go to...
Also, Team Bluegrass, another society reference.
Ah.
Or Team Boy Bands, if you're really deep into it.
I don't know.
Just move past.
Okay, this is Tyler. Tyler writes in, he says, hello, I just started...
Tyler, nice.
Tyler.
I'll get another two first names.
So nice they named him twice. He says, hello, I just started brewing sours after a few years of that other stuff. I love the show, I'm listening through from the beginning. He says, so sorry if this has already been answered. Have you or any guests tried distilling the bad barrels of sour beer? He says, usually bad beer makes bad liquor, and you know, that's the rule, but sometimes it makes something magical. Some of the logistics and legalities would probably be a headache, but the idea seems tantalizing, and I couldn't find a mention of anybody else doing it anywhere. Have you, Jay, or do you know anybody who has?
I don't particularly know anyone who has. I know breweries that do distill their beer. As I've looked into it, some of our larger batches that have gone wrong, I know a distillery that we reached out to, it became problematic, not for the fact that, oh, there's, you know, some sour beer off flavor to this, but more that if they were going to make something out of it, all the different ingredients we use become problematic. So I know there are rules in like whiskey making and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be certain percentages of certain grains and stuff like that. And the sugars can't come from so many various things, and our standard recipe has wheat, oats, spelt. It's some of our beers have fruit in them, so that didn't quite work for us well. But we have had small distilleries in the Bay Area reach out to us to distill some of our barrels, whether they're good or bad, or just swap barrels and stuff like that. And we're super open to that. Yeah, I don't see any reason why you couldn't. You just need a willing partner, someone who knows what they're doing. And I don't know the first thing about distilling, but I don't see why not, I guess.
If anybody out there, you homebrewers, have tried it on a personal scale.
Which is illegal.
I know. And so we'll keep everything anonymous, of course. But if you've tried something like that and you have the courage to send an email.
You want the shine? You want people to start sending shine in?
Well, I wasn't going to say.
I'll let you taste that.
Yeah, I'll taste and spit. Maybe no. I would just be curious about your process. And so just let me know if you've tried it. I'd be interested to hear it. Thank you for the question, Tyler. Thank you to the chat
tonight.
Thank you,
Tyler.
Thank you, Danica, for helping out with the chat. Thank you, appreciate it. So we can actually get some of those questions. It was nice. It was like the old school session days, hearing questions from the chat. That was cool.
That was very nice. Yeah, thank you guys for all that. And I'll second my thanks to Danica, running the behind-the-glass operations back there. She's probably not listening, is she?
No, she's not.
Yeah, she's checked out. On to our next flatbread. Thank you, Scott. You did a great job today.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you to all the sponsors. Seemed like there were more tonight. Felt like there were more.
There were. Thanks to Mitch.
And we love it. Big thanks to Mitch. Speciation Ales. Go check them out. Until next time, stay sour.